I realized that I wasn't anybody. Like, I mean, I was a mother, I was a daughter, I was a wife, I was a friend. You know, I did like whatever role I was doing in the PTA, and I didn't have any sense of like Dagmara-ness, right? I was just all those things that I did. I was those things, but I wasn't myself doing those things. I was just this role or that role or that role. And I was like, wait a minute, I could just be me.
Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of the Mother of Reinvention show. I'm Megan Francis, your host, and in this podcast, we're talking about all the ways we reinvent our lives as our kids get older, or as we move into our 40s and beyond. From career pivots to wellness journeys, new relationships, and whole new identities, this show is here to inspire you as you think about your what's next life. So this is the final episode of season one, and today's topic is really special to me because, as you know, if you've been following me for the last few years, when I turned 40, I really embraced hiking and kayaking and other outdoor adventures. So I took my first backpacking trip at 40, and then I went on a solo hiking and camping trip at 42. My guest today has a similar story, but even more dramatic. Dagmara Kokkonas went on her first ever hike at the age of 40 when she had two young sons. She was totally bitten by the bug and then committed to making outdoor adventure a big part of her life. And eventually she wound up turning her newfound love of the outdoors into Top Set Trekkers, a business that leads travel and adventure groups for women, which she runs together with her business partner, Jenny. So I think when women approach our 40s, or sometimes it's when our kids start getting a little bit older and less dependent, it's really common to suddenly look around and say, who am I and what am I doing for myself? It's often the time that we really start missing that me-ness, like you heard Dagmara admit at the top of the show. And when we ask ourselves that question and then commit to doing something to find that sense of self, that sense of what you can do for you, that can lead to some of the transformations we've talked about in season one, from heading down new career paths to transforming relationships to planning international travel or doing all kinds of things that scare you, maybe things you've never even dreamed of. Dagmara and I talk about everything from the kind of adventures she takes women on to how she and Jenny create a supportive and safe environment while still challenging their members to try new things, and how she continues to challenge herself now that she's in her early 50s. We'll get to that conversation in a minute, but first I want to tell you about our sponsor, Prep Dish. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like my ability to cook is not represented in what I actually put in my body. You know, I'm not a spring chicken. I have spent a couple decades learning how to grocery shop and put meals together. But so often, I just find myself short on inspiration when there's a lot going on, or maybe I just don't have all the ingredients on hand for a really delicious, healthy meal, or I don't have time to pull it all together. Prep Dish is a great solution for both the practical side and the inspiration side of the weekday dinner dilemma. They provide delicious, healthy recipes and a method for actually getting them on the table on busy evenings. Prep Dish is a subscription meal planning and menu service that makes it really easy to plan and prep meals for the whole week all at once. Every week, you get four complete menus, keto, paleo, gluten-free, and their new super fast menus, delivered to your email, along with recipes and a grocery list. You do all the prep once a week, I like Sunday afternoons, and then the meals come together really quickly on the nights you choose to make them. There's a lot of flexibility built into this plan, and the menus are really delicious, with meals like grilled Italian sausage with lemony asparagus and kale from this week's keto menu. You can also switch between the four different menus so you can accommodate different eating styles or just add more variety. For a free two-week trial, go to prepdish.com/more, that's M-O-R. Again, just head to prepdish.com/more, M-O-R for Mother of Reinvention, to try Prep Dish free for 2 weeks. Okay, one more thing before I dive into the interview with Dagmara. I am so grateful to those of you who've listened to this first season of Mother of Reinvention, and now I could use your help. I've put together a short survey where you can tell me what you thought of the guests, the topics, and the conversations, and what you'd like to hear more of in the future. You can find a link to the survey in the show notes for this episode, or just go to motherofreinventionshow.com and look for the link toward the top of the page. Also, I'm going to be releasing new content all summer long leading up to the launch of season two, which will happen in August. So be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss anything. You can also subscribe to my email list at meganfrancis.com. That's Megan with two A's, M-E-A-G-A-N, francis.com. Or follow me on Instagram at Megan Francis if you want to stay in touch that way. Okay, I know you're going to love my discussion with Dagmara Kakonis, so let's dive in. Hi, Dagmara. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I love this topic, of course, and anyone who's read my stuff or listened to me for any length of time knows that outdoor adventure is something that I felt was missing in my life for a couple of decades. I really just didn't get out as much as I wanted to, and around 39, 40 really started kind of dipping a toe back in. And I'm nowhere near where you are now, Dagmara, but you also kind of, you told me once that you got started at 40 and then your kids would have been like what, 8 and 11 or something like that at that age?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 51 now, so 11 years ago.
Oh, okay. All right. So they were, you know, they weren't little, but they weren't out of the house yet either. So it was still something you kind of had to work around motherhood. So tell us what that looked like. Were you outdoorsy before that, but then you were able to really dive in, or were you not at all?
Not at all.
Interesting.
I was actually, I didn't even know that hiking was a thing until I was 40.
Wow.
I mean, like I had gone on hikes with my parents occasionally when we were up in Michigan, like maybe they must've been like 1 mile hikes. And at the time I was like, oh my God, like, what are we doing? You know, like, you know, get me out of here. I'm hot.
Right.
But I didn't even know
nothing.
Until actually the trip I took when I was 40.
So what was that trip like?
It was a trip I took by myself.
Wow. Okay.
And I mean, if you're a mom and you have kids, the thought of doing anything by yourself, even like going to the bathroom
it's not anything guaranteed. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, there's nothing guaranteed. And we have a dog. So, I mean, add that to the mix, but, no, so I took a trip by myself. I don't know where I came up with the courage to be like, hey, I'm taking a trip. And it's not like with a friend or because I owe someone something, or,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like who just takes a trip,
right?
You know, for no reason at all. And I just did. And actually that was one of the greatest things I ever did.
Wow. Okay. So you just decided to do this on your own. I think that's so funny because I believe I was 40. No, I think I was 41 when I decided to go on my first trip by myself. And actually it took me getting divorced to do that because I think I would have felt too guilty. Like I had traveled alone for work. Like I had gone on to conferences by myself and things like that, but I had never gone on a trip alone just for the fun of it. I don't think in my entire adult life. And I think it was not having a spouse to like feel bad about leaving. Like the kids were
totally.
One thing, but yeah, the husband was a different thing. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's all hard. And I just don't think it occurred to me that I could before that. It wasn't on my radar at all. So I'm really curious, you know, it was courageous for you to do that, but did you want to go to a particular place or was it just like, I need to get away and I want to do it alone and I'm going to do this thing?
It was, I need to get away and I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to use this like, marker birthday to that's going to be my excuse because I did feel like I needed an, I mean, 11 years ago, self-care was not on anybody's radar.
Right.
Like nobody talked about mental health or self-care or anything like that. So it was definitely like, what are you doing? Mm. Don't you have kids?
Right.
You know?
So did you intend for that to be a hiking trip or was it something that just kind of happened because you were already on the trip?
It was something that I went to like this spa-ish place and it's called the Ashram and I actually had no idea even what that was. I was basically just someone recommended it and I was like, sure, that sounds great. And I had gone on a couple spa trips with girlfriends like for, you know, 2 days, let's say. And so this was a week by myself. I had a single room. And I didn't know this, but at the ashram, you hike every day. And so I was just like, oh, okay.
Hiking, I guess that's what I have to do now.
I guess that's what I'm doing. And right. I mean, I'm so glad. I'm just so glad it's changed my life.
Well, was that when you realized that hiking is just walking, but longer? I mean, like, I think it's so funny how we use the word hike, but that doesn't always mean climbing a mountain. It doesn't always mean like rough terrain. It can really be like, you know, a nice trail that you're walking in your sneakers. It doesn't have to be this like scary thing that it sounds very official. The word hike even sounds like maybe something you need to be very well equipped to do. So I'm wondering if that was intimidating to you. And then you're like, oh, wait, I can do this. I can put one foot in front of the other.
Well, so that's what I tell people now.
Right.
I mean, hiking is practically free.
Right.
Right. I mean, you need shoes mostly. I mean, I recommend shoes. Some people don't. But I live in Chicago. Like, right. So a lot of hiking for me is just walking, especially with new people I'm trying to introduce to it. I'm like, let's go for a walk.
Yeah. I love that. So then, okay. So that was then, that was your very first kind of foray out into nature in that way that you did it willingly and not dragged by your parents. And now 11 years later, you not only, you own a business that is centered around outdoorsiness, but you've also really upped your adventure level. So what kind of adventures are you going on now?
The best kind. I want to do something new every year, something I've never done, or go somewhere I've never gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one of the core sort of drivers of Top Set Trekkers is try something new. And so for me, I'm the planner, right? Jenny and I have a partner who does this with me, and we are the ones choosing where we're going to go. But then for some people, it's their first time hiking ever.
Right.
Everyone, if you've been on a trip before, you're going to do something you've never done because it's going to be Mongolia next, right? Next year, we're going to Mongolia and we're going to fat tire bike, which none of us have ever done before.
Okay, fun. So as part of Top Set Trekkers, you are actually, I mean, pre-pandemic, I'm not sure that you're doing this again yet, but like you were taking other people out, women primarily, or a mix?
Women.
Yeah, women.
We have had occasionally like a boyfriend come.
Right.
But it's mostly women.
Mostly women. Okay. So you're taking these women out and you're like leading, you're facilitating them trying something new, maybe dipping a toe in for the first time. So what do those trips look like? I mean, I'm sure they're very different depending where you're going, but what kind of experience are you providing?
So it depends. Okay. Some things are more luxurious, let's say, and some things are more rustic, and each one has its own appeal. So another one that we're calling it a beginner trip because it involves inns, number one. So we're not staying in tents or sleeping on the ground, you know, under the stars, but which we do also. But so there are inns and there's also luggage transfer, which means we've arranged to have our toiletries and things sent ahead to each new inn that we're stopping at. So the backpack that each person has to carry is under 10 pounds.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking like the first thing that got me into the idea of backpacking was a guided trip that I did where we got to borrow the equipment. I believe it was sponsored by Osprey. So that's very smart of Osprey to do that because I immediately bought one when I got back. But they let us borrow the packs and most of the stuff. And then they took our food and tents ahead. So we did get the experience of a loaded pack, like our sleeping bags and clothes and any food we wanted, like anything extra we wanted to bring in food-wise was in our pack. But like we knew we would get there and have at least a shelter. Like even if we packed terribly, we wouldn't starve. And we'd have something to sleep in. So that was like all taken care of. And it was nice. It was like kind of gave us the feel of it and like a little practice without the stress of wondering, do I need this? I don't know how to pack my pack yet. Like, how do I do that? So I think that's just a really, it's nice to curate that experience like that.
It's wildly dangerous to go into the backcountry with all of your own stuff. If you don't, I mean, even if you do know what you're doing, it's a little bit dangerous, mm-hmm. but if you don't know, it's unacceptable level of risk.
Right.
So, you know, that's another thing is that we're always saying, okay, well, what can we do on our own and what do we need people to help us with?
Right.
Right. Because I want to be safe. I want my friends to be safe. So for example, like we went to Bhutan. Okay. Right. Now, Bhutan, they limit the number of people who can enter, and it's required that you have a guide.
Okay.
So great. You know, we would want a guide anyway. And so we had a guide, and the guide made sure we didn't get lost. And the guide had, we actually hired horses who carried the tents and things so that, again, we only had to carry our essential, you know, our gear, like our clothes, right. Our water, right? But not the tents. They weren't, yeah.
Yeah.
But once you get a taste of it, for me at least, I was like, okay, now I want to do this by myself.
Mm-hmm. Like the challenge right? is just a little, how do you balance that acceptable risk? And I know one of the things that you talk a lot about on your website is helping the women who are traveling with you, or maybe even just part of the community, but not actually traveling with you, like helping them kind of overcome fear. But we need some fear. And there is like that level of acceptable risk or like risk mitigation going on. So how do you personally balance that? And then how do you teach others to kind of, I guess, walk that edge between awareness of your surroundings? Like there's that positive edge, right? Where it's productive and good and keeps you safe. And then like the unproductive level. And I'm wondering how you personally ride that and how you help your clients do that.
That is a great question. And we talk about that all the time. You know, for me, I think I'm more willing to do something new and take the risk because the more time I've done it enough that I have a lot of confidence in myself that I'll be able to manage it.
Okay.
But I am pretty much a control freak. So I do like to plan everything out ahead, and I have, you know, a digital map and a paper map. I mean, I'm definitely checking all the boxes before we go. Like I don't go out wildly seeking danger,
right?
Let's say.
Yeah.
However, I do accept unforeseen things. And we say to our friends, like even a misadventure is an adventure. And that's what you came for. You
right.
know, like I'm not going to guarantee you that you're not going to get a blister. You're not going to scratch something or rip your new shorts, you know, like that's part and parcel of it. And then you'll have a story to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's like the things you can control, like, you know, you can control your packing to some degree, but like you can't control the weather and you can't control if you run across some wild animal, like you can't. So there's those things that you can prepare, but you can't like eliminate all of those unexpected things. And that's part of the fun. But I think that's also one of the things that intimidates people. So do you ever have women who are coming like on their first trip with you or their first trip ever maybe, and you really have to help them with that? What do you feel like is the range of sort of levels of enthusiasm about those risks are like in the people that you're working with?
It's varied, very, yeah. very varied. Like there's one woman who absolutely just won't sleep in a tent.
Okay.
Right. So it's like, okay, well that you're excluding yourself from those trips.
Right.
Right. Like you want to come to Mongolia, but we're going to sleep in tents. So that's out. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? And so for someone like that, I'm not going to push someone past that. I let them make those decisions.
Right.
Right. And you know what? I think it's a self-sorting group.
Yeah.
Like people, they see, actually back to the Bhutan. So I went to Bhutan and I posted pictures of it on Facebook. Cause I mean, it was phenomenal. I mean, it's vast. It's gorgeous. It's so underpopulated. And I mean, most people don't even know where it is. Right.
Right.
So it's like, what, where did you go? Right. And I posted it, the pictures of that, just a couple. And actually that's where the name Top Set Trekkers came up and all of that. But after I posted it, I got so much feedback from, you know, Facebook friends, right? Which are people I probably haven't seen in person in over 10 years, if not 20. And they're like, thank you so much. This is so inspiring. Keep posting this. Wow, this is amazing. And I was just like, oh, right. Oh, like, okay. Like someone saw this, you know, right. Like anyone cares. Right. And so I feel like, you know, I took the risk, I guess, of going, and then I took another risk of putting myself out there by saying, hey, I did this. Right. Mm. And then people responded. Yeah. And that's how it grows from the feedback of other people going, wow, that's amazing. You know, I'd love to do something like that. Or how can I come on one of your trips? And right. And so it's the feedback, I think, that grows what we do.
Right. So you have this community. So it's not just that you're organizing these trips. You have an active community with Top Set Trekkers. And you even said this year it exploded, even though you weren't going anywhere. So, first of all, what does that look like? What does the community actually look like, especially during a time that no one's traveling? And then why do you think this year was so great and so big for it? This last year plus, right? More like a year. Gosh, it feels like a year that was 10 years. I don't know. However long it was.
Is it over yet?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But that was the most amazing thing. So first of all, like a long, long time ago, I was on a trip with my husband and my two boys, and I walked into a yarn store because I'm super into crafts and handwork and stuff. And there was a map on the wall, and there were three women who walked in, and they were older. I think, okay, that what year would this have been? I was 38 when we were on this trip. And so I saw some women, and they must have been in their 60s. So to me, they looked old, right? Yeah. And they were looking at this map going, oh, remember when we went to, you know, Botswana? And like, oh my gosh, and remember that? And I was just like, what? You know, those women, A, they're old. B, right. where are like their husbands, kids, families, you know, the others that they're responsible for, like they're out and about, you know, alone, with friends. And I was just like, I want that. I want that so bad. I want a group of women who we go to places and then we talk about the other places we've right. been, you know, like it just never even occurred to me that I didn't have that in my life and that could be something that I could have in my life. And so yeah. I don't think I consciously that day said I'm going to have that, but it stayed with me that like, I need that. I need this core group of women friends that I'm going to do stuff with.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I can remember moments of my life where I had that reckoning that like there's life outside of this life I have right now. Like, you know, right now, this is my life. I've got little kids. I'm kind of stuck at home, or I'm stuck in my like community, and everything I do is at the service of someone else or of many multiple other people's. And like those little glimpses of looking around and seeing often older women out doing their thing and thinking, wow, is that like what's next for me? And I'm laughing because usually in that stage, they do look old to you because it's like you're so in your younger mom phase then, and then you're looking at someone like outliving, as they say, their best life, and you're like, wow. So I think that's really cool. And I do think this last year, to me, it makes total sense that Top Set Trekkers blew up because people were dreaming and they want it. So like it's the time. I feel like last year has the last, I guess, 16 months or so has been like, if not now, then when? Like all the things we knew we wanted to do, now it's like the time is now to start planning that stuff because, you know, like it can all go away. We take things for granted, like the ability to travel or the ability to move freely. And then when that goes away, it's like, how will I prepare myself for when it comes back?
And what will I do in the meantime?
Right. Yeah.
So last year we had three trips planned, and it was the first year that we were going to do three trips in one year. And the first one was Scotland, the West Highland Way. That was supposed to be in April. The second one was the Fat Tire trip in Mongolia, which was supposed to be in June. And then we were going to through hike the Tahoe Rim Trail, which is a 15-day backpacking trip. Mm. And one by one, they all got canceled.
Oh no.
And like, with the backpacking being the last one, I was like, well, we could still backpack. Like, right. We're outdoors, you know, like there's fresh air. Like, right. That's the one thing you can do. And it was like, nope, can't do it. But what happened instead was amazing. So we have, WhatsApp. We use WhatsApp to sort of communicate with everyone because the people who come on the trips live all over. So one lives in Dubai,
wow.
Or Portland, Maine, Portland, Oregon. Jenny lives in London, actually, London, the UK.
Wow.
And so WhatsApp is the most, or has been, I mean, we were thinking about changing it right now, but so typically a group forms, and let's say we have the West Highland Way group and it's 8 people. So then we create a separate chat in WhatsApp for those 8 people. And then the Mongolia group has its own chat too, but the chats live on. So 2 years ago, we went to Japan. 3 years ago, we were in Norway. 4 years ago, we were in Italy, and those chats are still there. So that if something comes up in the news about Norway or whatever, you can still ping the Norway group and be like, hey, did you see this about the, you know, kayaking or this ferrata that we did? So as all the trips got canceled, the chats lit up. And it was like every day that the Norway group is talking. Now the Japan group is talking. And right. So the less we could do in terms of going on trips, the more the group coalesced. And it just became like everybody's support group throughout the pandemic. And some days there were like 30, 40 notifications. Like you've got, you know, chats going on.
Wow.
And that is when I was practically crying. I'm texting Jenny and I was like, look what we built.
Yeah.
Look at this. Like everyone is leaning on each other and coming to our chats for, you know, their sort of mental health.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That is really cool. You mentioned, you just rattled off a list of places that sound amazing to go to. And that I think anybody who is kind of in the place maybe that you were at 39 or that I was at 39 going into that, like, what is my life going to look like as my kids get older? So a divorce was a big part of my story. And I think that's so common for women who are like, you know, kind of like at the cusp of 40 or around there to be, for that, something like going to Japan or any of these other places that you're mentioning sounds so far outside of like what seems like a stretch now, which is getting out for a coffee on your own or something, right? So when the women that you're working with first join your group, first of all, are you finding that there are different levels of willingness, ability, I don't know, desire to be traveling internationally? And then it's like they try something that's a little more laid back and then they get the bug? Or is like everyone coming to you ready for that level? And then also skill level. I'm going to guess some of these trips require a lot more like climbing ability and things like that than others. And or maybe like you had mentioned, the desire or willingness to sleep on the ground in a tent. I mean, how widely varied is that level within the overall group of women that you're serving?
Very. So there are women who I have approached to say, hey, you know, someone canceled or we're building a group for Scotland, let's say, and you should definitely come. And they're like, oh no, like I've never slept apart from my husband.
Wow.
Like in our entire marriage. And I'm like, wow. Okay. You know, like I don't know what to say about that. Like,
right.
I, you know, like it's so unique and different, and I'm not going to interfere with that. Right.
Right.
So that person has still not come on any of our trips, but there was another woman who was also in that boat, but she wanted to, and she was one of Jenny's friends, and Jenny kind of cajoled her. She was like, you can do this. And she has 4 kids. They're younger, and her husband supported her, you know, her desire to go. And it was hard for her, actually. I think she was really homesick. But again, I mean, it's transformative when you're doing it, and then it's transformative a month later and a year later.
Wow. Do you get to see that happen like in front of your eyes on the trip or after the trip, just like talking to women who didn't think they could do it and then they realized that they could? What is that like for you?
That's amazing. So that happens, the in front of your eyes stuff happens when it's something crazy, like you have to climb this wall of rock, you know, and you've never done anything like this before. And we have a guide and we have harnesses and it's safe. And I'm terrified, but I know it's, you know, mostly safe and right. I'm terrified. And I'm looking at people and like their entire foot is shaking and, you know, or it's just like, I can't, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, we're here. We're all doing it and you're going to do it too. And like, it's the sort of the vibe of the group being there supporting everyone is what pushes them to make the leap,
yeah,
right, to do mm-hmm. it. And then after they've done it, it's like they've shed this layer of, I don't know what, apprehension and the confidence. I it's really hard to describe what yeah. somebody looks like after they've done this, but you can see it.
Wow. I want to dig more in on that, but first we're going to take a quick break and we'll talk more when I get back. Friends, I have had so many disappointing shoe purchases in my life, and I'm guessing you've been there too. Like when you see a pair of shoes that seem so cute on the shelf, but your feet are aching after wearing them for an hour. I need comfort, but I also really want style, and it's not always easy to get both of those things in one place. That is why I've become such a huge fan of our sponsor, Vionic Shoes. Whether you're looking for wedges, sandals, sneakers, booties, or basically any style of shoe, Vionic has you covered. Not only are the styles really cute, but Vionic's three-zone comfort features stability, cushioning, and amazing arch support. If you're dealing with heel pain or plantar fasciitis or just have trouble finding shoes that feel good on your feet, you have got to give Vionic a try. I've seriously never worn shoes this comfortable and supportive, and I have been a total convert since I slipped on my first pair. I know new shoes can definitely be an investment, but Vionic makes it really easy to take the plunge with their 30-day wear test. That means you can return for a full refund within 30 days if you aren't satisfied for any reason, even if you've worn the shoes outside. Go to vionicshoes.com and use promo code MORE, that's M-O-R, to get free shipping on your pair of Vionics. Again, that's vionicshoes.com and use the promo code M-O-R for Mother of Reinvention to get free shipping. So one of the commitments I've made to myself in my 40s is to invest in high quality fabrics and materials and construction in my clothing, bedding, and accessories. But I do have a limited budget and I don't always have time to bargain hunt. And I don't really even have an awareness of which brands and manufacturers do things really well. So I was really excited to find our sponsor, Quince. Quince is a one-stop shop for curated luxury goods shipped direct from the world's best specialist factories. By focusing on essential products with low design costs, I'm talking cashmere crews, silk camis, leather bags, super soft fleece pants, Quince is able to keep their costs way down and then they pass those savings on to you. Quince finds the best factories who produce those items for well-known luxury brands, partnering only with ones committed to the highest production standards, fair wages, safety, and sustainability, and then ships direct to you from around the world. No agents, no warehouse, no stores. So say you order Turkish towels. They go straight from Turkey to you. That's it. 100% factory direct. I have my eye on a set of washable silk PJs, which are so nice on warm summer nights, and cashmere sweatpants because shouldn't everyone have a pair of cashmere sweatpants? Quality shouldn't be a luxury. You deserve it. Try Quince today. Get free shipping and 365-day free returns. Just go to onequince.com/MOR. That's M-O-R for Mother of Reinvention. I've seen many of their collections sell out immediately, so move quick. Go to onequince.com/MOR. That's onequince.com/more, M-O-R. onequince.com/more. Okay, back to my interview with Dagmara Kakonas. So Dagmara, I'm thinking about what you said a little while ago about the group member who had never slept away from her husband. And then maybe someone like that being paired up with, I don't know, someone who'd been widowed, or maybe there's someone who'd been a world traveler and another person who has never left their home state. And I'm just imagining that you gather together women of very different life experiences and backgrounds on these trips
and that it's probably a pretty intimate environment. So what is that like?
Yeah, so we have a bunch of intentional things that we do that I think keeps it really interesting. And there are a lot of reasons, but I'll tell you a couple of them. So the last trip we did pre-pandemic was we went to Sardinia and we did something called the Selvaggio Blu, which is basically this cliff face that you you climb up it until there's nowhere else to go. Like you can't go, you know, forwards or backwards. Okay. You can only go down, and then you rappel down to a point, another starting point. And then you take off the rope and harness and you climb again until you can't, you know, so it's like climb, rappel, climb, rappel, climb, rappel. And it's terrifying. but the group, we had a group of five women, and the youngest woman there was like 28 and engaged. So, okay. You know, no kids, no husband.
Right.
Right. And then the oldest woman, I think, was 62 or 61 at the time. And, you know, kids grown and working, but like, you know, nearing that time where you're like, should I go to work, start working part time, right? And make some time in my life. So having those different types of people on a trip is part of what keeps it really interesting, is that not everyone is like the married with kids or divorced with kids and trying to get away from that. Right. Everyone has their own reasons for coming, and it's not always the same.
Yeah. Wow. And they learn from each other. And they maybe learn a little more about the world from each other, which I think is really cool.
Exactly. And then people talk about kid, like the one woman who was engaged is now married and is about to have a baby. Like she might be having her first baby right now. Is due like yesterday. So, you know, people talk about we talk about marriages and how hard it is to make everything work. And there's a woman there who's just getting engaged, right? So she hears the wisdom, and that's part of what we're sharing. And then the other thing that we do is called the roommate shuffle, which is where we go, whether we're sleeping in tents or in refugios or in inns, Jenny and I decide every night who your roommate is going to be. And it's someone different every night.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the group doesn't form cliques. We don't start talking about, you know, Susie Slowpoke or, you know, anything like that. Like it's you get told at lunchtime who your roommate's going to be that night. And then that person sort of becomes your hiking buddy for the afternoon, but then it's always switching. So you always have a vested interest in everyone else's success because they're your buddy or they just were your buddy or they're going to be your buddy. And that keeps it really, it keeps it really real and really, friendly and supportive. And that's why people are more willing to take the risks, is because they know that we're all supporting each other. We're not competing.
Right. Oh, that's so smart. And I love that you do that because I think you're right. I mean, cliques happen because once you're comfortable with one person, it's easier just to stay comfortable with that person. But the whole environment you're creating is pushing yourself and taking risks. And that can be a physical risk or a social risk, you know, it could be an emotional risk, like all of those things create the experience. And I love that you create that environment and that truly community feeling, it sounds like.
Yeah.
What do you think for women who are kind of in the target range for this podcast? And I know that people, you know, women in their early 30s are listening, but I kind of feel like it's mostly women in kind of like in their late 30s in well into their 40s. So sort of in that range. What do you feel like the experience is like for those women specifically? Do you notice any trends for like the 40 to 50 year old who is going on their first trip with you? That's maybe a little different from someone older or younger.
I think that, well, the younger the woman's, let's talk about women who have children.
Right. Okay.
So a woman who has children it doesn't matter how old she is. It's how old her children are.
That is really smart. You're right. Yeah. Right.
So it's like, I have a friend, in fact, when I was in college, I was like, I'm definitely going to be like an international business person. And I may or may not have children, but if I do have children, I'm going to have them much later in life. And I'm going to live in Switzerland and, you know, like maybe I'll adopt, right? None of those things happened. I have a friend who basically is living the life I thought I was going to be living. So she started a really successful business and she got married after 40 and she has like a 6-year-old now. Right. And we're the same age, but my kids are 18 and 22 and she has a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Right. So her life is the life of a woman with a 6-year-old.
Right.
And my life is the life of a woman with a 22-year-old and an 18-year-old. And we're the same age.
Right. Yeah. That really makes a huge difference.
But I think the woman that you're talking about, or the question was to me, is what about somebody who has kids who are between the ages of 6 and 12, right? Mm-hmm. And is just in the throes of it. And I mean, when my kids were 6 and 11, I had my life scheduled down to the 15-minute time slot. So if someone asked me to do something and I wanted to do it, and mostly I didn't say no, I don't know why. I know better now. But someone asked me to do something, I would look and be like, well, you know, between 3:45 and 4, I could probably hop on, you know, the computer and get that done, right? And that's crazy.
Right.
That is crazy. And so I feel like the challenge when you're that person and you're in that stage of your motherhood is to take time for yourself and to say, like, there's going to be time where I'm not going to do anything for anybody because I'm doing what I need to do for me. And the easiest way to start that is a workout or going for a walk.
Right.
Like to say, I need an hour every day or 5 days a week. And my hour is this yoga class or this, you know, walk around the block or whatever. And once you start taking your hour, you realize how valuable that is.
Right.
And that you're worth it.
Is that what you did? Because you went from being someone who, when your kids were, I think we randomly decided they were like 7 and 10 or 8 and 11 or something like that. When you went on that trip that changed everything for you, when you came back from that trip, were you like, I need to start taking an hour for a walk every day? Or was it like, was it grander than that? Was it like, I'm going to every 6 months go on some kind of big adventure that's going to take me away? Like, how did you go from where you were then to where you are now?
So it was actually like an aha moment that I had where I was just in a place of stress and like too much and overwhelmed with all the mothering and the wifing and everything, you know, daughtering, because like your parents need you too, right? And I realized that I wasn't anybody. Like, I mean, I was a mother. I was a daughter. I was a wife. I was a friend. You know, I did like whatever role I was doing in the PTA. I had a hat shop. So I was, you know, like the hat, everyone thought of me as the hat lady because I was making custom hats for people. And I didn't have any sense of like Dagmara-ness, right? Mm. I was just all those things that I did. I was those things, but I wasn't myself doing those things. I was just this role or that role or that role. And I was like, wait a minute. I could just be me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not doing a good job of explaining this, but like, it was truly this moment where I was just like, I need to back out of all of the roles and have just this little box that I can sit in and be myself and not anything to anyone else.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that, the not Dagmara-ness, and you were just like checking the boxes, almost like the roles in your life that you had to fulfill, like the tasks and all the things that were expected of you were there, but where was the person? behind it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's amazing. And so, I mean, when you realized that, there must have been, like, was that hard? What was it? Did your kids resist? Did your husband resist? Was there pressure to not back out of the things that you no longer wanted to do? How did you deal with that?
A lot. A lot of, like, all of a sudden, you know, I need this done. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was definitely a process where, like I said, I started with, like, I'm working out. Right. And that's where I think it's harder if you're doing, like, a Zoom yoga class or whatever, and you can just, you know, pause it or whatever. But if you have to go somewhere, this was 10 years ago, I would go somewhere, be like, this is, you know, the time. And so people, and I wouldn't answer my phone. Right. Like, right. My husband's always like, you never answer your phone. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. On purpose. Right. Like, yeah.
I'm going for a run.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I should answer my phone, like, right, while I'm running, because, you know, you're wondering what's for dinner. Like, no.
Right. No. Yeah.
Right. And it's so easy as a woman, I think, to become everyone else's errand boy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In our culture, I think that's a thing. And so you have to resist and say, I'm going for a run and I'm leaving my phone at home.
Yeah. Well, and because you have to be the one to do it, because it doesn't benefit anybody else for you to take care of yourself. So they're not going to be the one. I mean, it does in the long run, but they don't see the immediate benefit of that. All they see is the hassle or the additional work. So, like, they're not going to be the ones to champion that for you, typically. Like, the other people who are depending on you or feel like they're depending on you to be their errand person or to do for them or to be always on call, always available, why would they ever say, you know what you should do? You should leave your phone at home. Like, it's almost like you have to train them that it's going to be okay. Like, that they can handle whatever comes up. But it has to really originate from you setting that boundary, because they're not going to set it for you.
Absolutely.
Like, why would they?
You have to take, and in order to be the person who takes, you have to believe that you're worth it, and that you deserve it. And I think that's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of when I had a moment, I think, and my kids were littler when I had this moment, but I have a lot of kids. So, you know, I probably came to this realization pretty far into motherhood. It's just that at that point I still had little ones, but it was like a Saturday and I was married at the time. And I don't know, my husband at the time went out to clean the garage, I think was what he was doing. And then I went out to the garage and he's gone and his car was gone. And I said to the kids, like, did you see where daddy went? And they're like, yeah, he just left. And I thought, I would literally never do that. Like, I would literally never get in my car and just drive away without making sure everybody was okay, making sure it was all right for me to go. And I don't know what he went to the store. He was working on the garage and he thought, I need this tool to hang this shelf. And therefore, I'm going to get in my car and drive away. And for me to do that, there would have had to be, like, this whole other series of decisions and actions before I would get in my car and drive away, like going in the house, checking in with everybody, making sure they all had food, like, and I would have felt like the trip had to be justified. And I was not, like, I didn't have a newborn. Like, maybe my youngest was 3. So it's not like, it wasn't like a baby who was attached to me for their food source. It was just this overarching responsibility that wouldn't allow me to just make a snap decision, which was a very reasonable decision. Like, he knew I had the kids, so he went. And I think that really made me look at things in a new light. Like, I could do that too. I could get in my car and I could just drive away and, like, I'll come back, but, you know,
maybe
I'll eventually come back, but just that feeling of freedom. And I really think that that is what, for me, travel and outdoor adventure has been about. It's like, it's like recovering, not just a sense of self that you really eloquently put it, like the Dagmar-ness, the Megan-ness, but also the freedom, like that feeling of freedom that you don't get when you are attached to your family, especially when they're young. So I can see why it's so intoxicating, really.
Here's something that Jenny and I were just talking about. after we climbed Mount Whitney, which, like, hello, that was so great.
Yeah.
So let's say you make dinner and you make 4 skin on chicken breasts, and one of them you leave the skin on, you know, you leave it too long and it burns. When have you ever not taken the burned piece?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, do you ever take the best piece of cake or the prettiest, you know, or like, are you cut up a pot pie and one of them is like mangled and the rest of them, like when you're handing out the plates, do you give your husband the mangled one and take the perfect one? No,
no,
no. Like, I've never done that. Right. So, and she's like, oh God, I would never do anything like that. Right. And it's these little ways that we all demote ourselves to last.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not last. Right. Try it tonight. Cut up a pizza and give yourself the best piece, the piece with the most pieces of pepperoni on it, you know?
Yeah.
And then see if anyone notices.
Well, right. They're not going to, I mean, no one's paying as much attention as you to their own needs as you are paying to everyone else's needs besides yourself, if that makes sense. Like, you know, and I think that's so true. As moms, we mother, and sometimes that like nurturing can feel like putting everyone else above you, but that's really not what nurturing is. Like, no. It's really not what it needs to be, I guess, is my point. It's like the unit matters and you're part of the unit. So you matter. It's,
you know what? You yeah. just matter.
You just matter. Matter.
It, yeah. You matter. Like, you don't need to deserve to take an hour on your own. Like, it doesn't need to be, I wash the sheets, you know, like dinner's in the crock pot, whatever. I can squeeze that hour in. Like, you don't need to earn it. That hour, it's just de facto, you get that.
Right.
And if the sheets need to be done, you know, like while you're, I don't know, taking your shower, then that's something else. But
right.
But you don't need to earn the hour. Take it. Just take it.
Well, Dagmar, this has been such a fantastic conversation. Before we wrap up, I'm just curious what's next for you. So I know that like the world hasn't quite opened back up yet, but do you have your sort of finger on the pulse of what might open up soon as far as international travel? Or do you have some more domestic travel coming up in the meantime? What is the next big thing on your horizon?
So we are doing everything that was canceled. We're doing it.
Nice.
So okay. The next thing we're doing, but we're doing them in a different order. So the Tahoe Rim Trail is going to be next. And Scotland is going to be in wow. September. And then Mongolia was rescheduled for next June. So we're running all of the programs and then, you know, pushed everything else forward. So Korea, Latvia, we have a lot of fun things planned.
I love it. So if someone is you know, curious to find out more about the trips you have planned or just to learn what Top Set Trekkers is all about, they just go to the website. Is there, you can sign up and become a member, correct?
You can sign up on the website, topsettrekkers.com. You can message us on our Instagram or the Facebook group. And it's really active. So we will definitely see you and we will ping you back.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for this. I'm really excited now that, you know, I had some mild adventures over the last year, but I'm really looking forward to leveling that up. And I think it's just a really good time for people to be thinking about, you know, we've spent this year plus under lockdown-ish. What do we want life to look like on the other side? And maybe especially there's been people who in that time have come to some of the same realizations that you've talked about where their time matters and they want to take it. And so I'm hoping some of them will go check out Top Set Trekkers, and I think I will as well. So thank you so much, Dagmara.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Mother of Reinvention. Like always, everything from today's episode will be in the show notes at motherofreinventionshow.com. Again, don't forget to check out Prep Dish, and for a free 2-week trial, go to prepdish.com/more. That's M-O-R. Again, just head to prepdish.com/more, M-O-R, to try Prep Dish free for 2 weeks. And don't forget, this is the last episode of season 1, but we're going to be back with a whole new season at the end of August. So in the meantime, be sure to subscribe and follow me on Instagram because I'll be releasing more content and teasers for season two. Also, I would love to get your opinion about the show so far so that I can help shape season two. So I've put together a really short survey and it would help me so much if you'll take it. Just go to motherofreinventionshow.com and you'll see a link to the survey toward the top of the page. If you ever want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Instagram at Megan Francis, or you can send me an email at motherofreinventionshow@gmail.com. Okay, friends, thanks so much for listening, and I will be talking with you again very soon.